Welcome to the Nat Decants podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. Today's story, When Food Fights with Wine. Matching wine with food provokes as much debate among enophiles as does the compatibility of science and religion among philosophers. So many visitors to my website have asked me about particular pairing challenges that I've decided to focus on three foods that are tough on wine: vegetables, spicy dishes, and fast food. Many wine lovers just give up when confronted with these problem children of cuisine. But as a determined hedonist, I won't admit that there's any food that can't be paired with some wine. And I'm always thirsty, so I'm always thinking of new combinations. However, there are hundreds of combinations within each of these categories, and no discussion could cover them all. So I've supplemented this story with links to my interactive food and wine matcher at nataliemclean.com/matcher. The tool's simple drop-down menus allow you to search by food to find great wine choices, or by wine for meal inspirations. Once you find the type of wine for the food, you can then search my wine reviews to find labels available in stores now, as well as for recipes that have that particular ingredient in them. The guidelines for pairing wine with difficult food are the same as for those for traditional wine-friendly dishes. Harmonize your flavor, texture, and weight. Beyond these principles, here are a few tips to help you transform your problem children into star performers on the table. Wine salad days. My husband Andrew, an unrepentant carnivore, claims that salad is what food eats. I wouldn't go that far, but my problem with vegetables is that they are among the most challenging foods to match with wine. Finding veggie-friendly wines, however, is important. On the one hand, many of us are now filling our plates with more greenery and less wine-friendly meat dishes. On the other, as the health benefits of wine become better known, more vegetarians are pouring a glass with their meatless meals. We're all more health-conscious, but don't want to give up good taste. I'm fond of a tender steak, but for me, the true taste of summer is a juicy, chin-dripping tomato plucked from the garden, or a crisp stalk of asparagus dripping with butter. There are great wines for both. Dreaded big reds. Let's start with wines to avoid. The main offenders are robust reds that pair well with the hearty meat dishes that Andrew loves. Wines such as Cabernet Sauvignon and Shiraz. Not only will these full-flavored, full-bodied wines overpower vegetables, but their tannins will clash as well. With a steak, a tannic red wine works. The meat proteins bind with the wine tannins to make them both taste richer and smoother. But not so with protein-free vegetables. Together, they taste bitter, almost metallic. Mature, delicate, or complex reds also don't work, since the nuances of these wines will be overwhelmed by the veggies' robust flavors. If you love red wines, choose soft, smooth-textured, fruity ones such as Pinot Noir, Gamay, and Sangiovese. Tuscan Chianti, made from the Sangiovese grape, is a classic regional match for most Italian dishes with tomatoes, including many pasta sauces and pizzas. Chianti's aromas and flavors are often described as tart and sun-dried, just like the tomato. In its youth, Chianti can be tannic, so try to drink those that are 3 to 5 years old and decant them for an hour or two. Tomatoes love Italian. Although raw tomatoes are tough on wine, they're often served cooked in a multi-ingredient dish or in a sauce such as ratatouille or marinara, which makes them less harsh. With these dishes, you can try other juicy Italian reds, such as Barbera, Valpolicella, or Dolcetto. All have complementary ripe red fruit aromas, a touch of spice, and mouth-awakening acidity. Cool climate Pinots from Burgundy, New Zealand, and Oregon have these aromas too, together with the tartness needed for tomatoes. However, warm climate Pinots, such as those from California and Australia with their high alcohol content, 14% or more, are often too ripe and flabby to hold their own with tomatoes. Of course, not all tomatoes are created equal. The yellow, golden, and purple varieties are sweeter than the red, so they require a tart wine with ripe fruit aromas, such as those Californian and Australian Pinots. You can also serve this type of wine with a caprese salad, traditionally composed of sliced tomatoes, mozzarella, basil, and olive oil, because these ingredients soften the perception of acidity in tomatoes. Salting raw tomatoes achieves the same effect. Better white than red. In general, white wines do much better than reds with vegetables, but there are some exceptions. As with reds, avoid high-alcohol whites. Their jammy, ripe fruit clashes with the zesty flavors of veggies. Besides, summer greens are best enjoyed when the weather is warm, and that's not when you want a heavy, alcoholic wine. Starchy vegetables, such as squash, pumpkin, potatoes, and corn, go well with oaky whites. Californian, Chilean, and Australian Chardonnays match the food's creamy, buttery flavors. Anything with a smoky flavor, such as spinach cooked with bacon, marries with a toasty Chardonnay. Dishes with more robust flavors, including vegetarian casserole, eggplant parmigiana, scalloped potatoes, or spinach lasagna, can handle full-flavored whites and medium-bodied reds. Oaky whites, however, can flatten the taste of green vegetables, and these vegetables in turn can make the wine taste cloyingly sweet. Instead, look for versatile bone-dry whites with mouth-watering acidity to pair with onions, leeks, scallions, and green peppers. Good choices include Pinot Grigio, Pinot Blanc, Muscadet, dry rosé, and sparkling wine. Dressing your wine. When it comes to salads, wines with a floral character do well with simple field greens, for the same reason that edible flowers are used as a garnish. Milder greens, such as romaine and Boston lettuces, are gentler on wine than bitter ones such as radicchio, arugula, and endive, which can clash with the wine's tannins. The fat in a creamy salad dressing softens the perception of bitterness in wine and highlights its fruitiness, allowing you to drink a richer, rounder white than with a vinaigrette. However, some dressings, like homemade mayonnaise, can be too rich unless there's some acidity. Caesar salad, with its pungent tastes of salty anchovies, garlic, lemon, and Parmesan, cries out for a zesty white to cut through the smothering fat and to stand up to the strong flavors. My favorite salad wine is a lime fresh Australian Riesling, especially from the cool Clare Valley, or a dry German Riesling from the Rheingau. If you prefer to dress your salad with a vinaigrette, beware of its intense and volatile acidity. Not only does the wine's acidity taste wimpy by comparison, but the vinegar also flattens fruit flavors. Tame the vinaigrette's acidity by using more oil in relation to vinegar, 5 parts to 1, or substitute a milder acid such as verjuice, the juice from unripe wine grapes. Reduced wine, vinegars made from fruit or rice wine, sherry or balsamic vinegar, limoncello liqueur, lemon juice, or equal parts of lemon and orange juice for stronger wine vinegars. In addition to tangy dressings, we often put pickled and brined foods, such as capers, olives, or pickled beets, in our salads. These ingredients need wines with racy acidity. Olives, for example, have a pungent, salty taste that pairs well with dry Pinot Sherry, Spain's popular fortified wine, and a classic match for almost all tapas dishes. Wine-friendly salad ingredients such as cheese, nuts, herbs, bacon bits, and mushrooms can provide a bridge to wine, allowing you to drink earthier reds. Of artichokes and asparagus. The vegetable that most haunts sommeliers is the artichoke. It contains chinarin, an organic acid that stimulates our taste buds' sugar receptors and fools us into thinking that everything we eat or drink afterwards is sweeter than it is, including water. This plays havoc with wine. Italians, though, have made a virtue of this problem by creating a bitter-tasting aperitif called chinar. They're clever at pairing artichokes with austere, bone-dry whites that would make you pucker if you drank them on your own, such as Verdicchio and Vermentino. Dry whites from other regions work too, Chablis and Aligoté from Burgundy, and Chenin Blanc from the Loire Valley in South Africa. I call this the tough love approach to food and wine matching. You have to be mean with acidity to be kind with flavor. Another way to soften the artichoke's raw edge is to cook them slowly in an acid-based liquid such as lemon juice, vinegar, or wine. This decreases their chinarin content and turns starches to sugar. This in turn deepens their flavors and makes them more wine-friendly. You can also roast or caramelize them. Asparagus is also a wine stalker, as it too has chinarin, though far less of it than artichokes. Its more troublesome compound is mercaptan, which can produce the bad smell like rubber or gunflint in wine. White asparagus is even more bitter than green, and rare purple asparagus is sweeter with a mild nutty flavor. Which wines to serve with them? My theory is that green food and green wine go together. So asparagus dances with wines that have herbal grassy aromas, such as Austrian Grüner Veltliner and Spanish Macabo and Albariño. Although Sancerre, Sauvignon Blanc from France, works, my favorite match is New Zealand's Sauvignon Blanc. In fact, if there were an award for veggie wine of the century, it would go to this one. Not only does it have complementary aromas of asparagus and canned peas, but it also has bright citrus notes that complement most vegetables. As with artichokes, you can subdue asparagus's riotous flavors by cooking or by using sauce. Cook it in a ragu or with porcini mushrooms, and a Pinot Noir will suit nicely. It's all in your approach. Roasting vegetables intensifies flavors through dehydration just as it does with meat. Grilled vegetables have a smoky charcoal flavor, which can be brightened with a lemony wine like Riesling, just as you might squeeze lemon juice on grilled fish. Alternatively, try charred vegetables, zucchini, eggplant, and peppers, with reds that have a smoky character, Spanish Tempranillo and Italian Brunello di Montalcino. The smoke-tinged sweetness of the food marries with the wine's ripe plum and berry flavors. Grill or sauté broccoli and green beans in olive oil to soften and round their flavors, or smother them in a butter or cream sauce, and they'll go nicely with a lightly oaked Californian or Chilean Sauvignon Blanc. So relax about your wine choice as you sit on the patio with the sun warming the back of your neck, and a light breeze wafting over the mouth-watering scent of vegetables grilling on the barbecue. With the taste of summer on your plate and in your glass, you'll discover that it's not hard being green. It's delicious. Wines that can take the heat. When faced with spicy cuisine, wine lovers don't have to cry in their beer. Fiery dishes such as pad thai, jalapeno stuffed burritos, Indian tandoori, Texas barbecue, Cajun crabs and gumbo, Szechuan kung pao pork, or Jamaican jerk chicken are cuisines that did not develop alongside regional wines over the centuries as did European fare. Trying to find wines that will complement food that is at once sweet, sour, and spicy can be a challenge, but here are several tips to help you choose. Keep your cool. The flavors that survive heat are sweet and sour. That's why both crisp and slightly sweet wines can cool the palate after a fiery onslaught. Examples include wines made from the Riesling and Muscat grapes. Look for those from cool climate regions such as Germany and Alsace, where the wine preserves its refreshing acidity. These wines are the equivalent of diving into the ocean after getting a sunburn, invigorating and soothing. Long after you've swallowed, their silver thread of acidity lasts as long as that hot wire of spice in your mouth. They also have complementary aromas of spices, limes, lemons, green apples, and flowers. With mildly spiced dishes, you can drink dry whites such as New Zealand's Sauvignon Blanc, Australian Riesling, Italian Pinot Grigio, and Alsatian Pinot Blanc. Their herbal aromas work well with ingredients in green curries such as basil, tarragon, coriander, lemongrass, and lime. Sweet meats heat. For hotter dishes such as pad thai, mustard-based fare and wasabi, Cajun and Creole, a touch of sweetness helps to quench the flames when a bone-dry wine will taste too austere. A little sweetness won't taste syrupy if it's matched by crisp acidity. Try German Riesling, especially those labeled from the first two categories in the range from semi-sweet to sweetest. Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslese, Baron Auslese, and Trocken Baron Auslese. The latter three are dessert wines and therefore too sweet. Moselle region Rieslings tend to be lighter in body and alcohol and therefore are better with these foods than those from the Rheingau. For wines from other countries, look for off dry on the label or a sugar code of 1 to 3, as 0 is a completely dry wine and dessert wines are at about 15 to 20. For this reason, rosé and white Zinfandel work well. Yes, I said white Zinfandel, that's not a mistake. These also work well with sweet and sour Chinese sauces and ingredients such as pineapple, coconut, and sweetened yogurt. Capsicum, the compound found in chilies that makes them hot, doesn't wreck wine's flavors, but it does diminish our perception of them. So choose value-priced wines, since the fine nuances of expensive wines are easily obliterated by these bold flavors. Don't add fuel to the fire. The heat from spicy dishes not only numbs your palate, but it also creates a stinging sensation when it reacts with alcohol, making the wine feel hotter than it actually is. High alcohol wines are like lighter fluid to campfire. The flavors of both the food and the wine go up in smoke. Salt, prevalent in soya, oyster, and fish sauces, also accentuates alcohol. So look for lighter-bodied wines with an alcohol content of less than 12%. These come from the cool climate regions already mentioned, since the grapes don't ripen as fully as in hotter climes, resulting in wines with lower levels of alcohol. Follow the spice route. Gewürztraminer is liquid salsa to many spicy dishes. The direct translation of the German word Gewürz means spice, which is why it may have become the default wine for any spicy dish. However, the wine is more perfumed than it is spicy, and personally I don't think it deserves such a wide reputation for these dishes. The dry versions are often too austere for some spicy dishes that cry out for a touch of sweetness, and the wine's assertive aromas of rose petals and lychee nuts are not to everyone's taste. Instead, try exotically perfumed wines from France, made from grapes such as Marsanne and Viognier. Cushion your landing. Even though I believe that white wines generally go better with spicy dishes, there are several reds that work, especially round smooth ones that are like plush cushions to soften the spiciness. These absorb the heat without overwhelming the flavor of the food and work well with the mild Indian tandoori dishes, chicken tikka masala, and gentler curries. Plummy reds with supple tannins are ideal, such as Chilean Merlot, California Zinfandel, French Beaujolais and Gamay, and Pinot Noir from Oregon, California, and New Zealand. Australian Shiraz cuts both ways in style. Some are plush and smooth, these work, while others are peppery and tannic, these don't. Likewise, heavy doses of tannin and oak mask the fruit flavors and acidity in wine and aggravate the perception of heat. Tannin and spice are both tactile, but in different ways, and tend to rub against each other. One inevitably dominates and diminishes the other. And here's a tip. I find that reds served a little cooler than room temperature are more refreshing when they're partnering with spice. Many non-European cuisines involve serving a range of dishes at the meal, so there's no one perfect wine. Why not take a dim sum approach to choosing your wine, too? Sample several to find the ones that you enjoy most. It works for all but howlingly hot dishes, which are too volcanic for any liquid except lava. For these, I recommend water from a fire hydrant. Drinking beside the box. Knowing that saffron-flavored millefeuille of red mullet and langoustine pairs perfectly with Dom Perignon, or that a prime fillet of Kobe beef with braised oxtail and potato rosti will make Chateau Petrus sing, is useful if you have a fat trust fund and a kitchen staff of 20. But when most of us are racing from work to soccer practice, to ballet class and then home again, we're far more apt to grab some takeout food or heat a frozen TV meal than to prepare a multi-course dinner every night of the week. We're more aware than ever of the health issues associated with trans fats and too much salt, but most of us still eat fast food now and again. The California-based Wine Market Council reports that although U.S. wine consumption has increased 20% in the last 5 years, only 42% of drinkers say that they have wine with takeout food. North American sales of frozen dinners have tripled over the last 6 years. Almost 70% of us partake of them, and the heavy users among us are chowing down on at least one a week. NPD Group, a food services research firm, found that 2/3 of North Americans ate in licensed chain restaurants at least once every 2 months. With all those meals, only 7% of us ordered wine. Perhaps that's because 45% of us believe that wine makes a meal seem more formal. But whether you've slaved over dinner for hours or just phoned to order it, the guidelines for pairing wine and food remain the same. Harmonize your flavors and textures. Fast food wines. If it seems strange to drink wine with fast food, consider that many wines today are actually made to be consumed immediately, or at least within a year or two of purchase, and most don't improve with age. They're the fast foods of the wine world, including E&J Gallo, Turning Leaf, Mondavi Woodbridge, Fortin de France, Mouton Cadet, Wolf Blass Yellow Label, Lindeman's Bin 65, Hardy's Stamp Series, Jacob's Creek, and Yellowtail, among others. These wines are created with what amounts to a drive-through philosophy. They're consistent, dependable, and modestly appealing in taste. Unlike more complex wines designed for cellaring, they don't have harsh tannins that need smoothing over time. Nor do they have much subtlety or delicacy of flavor that can be overwhelmed by greasy food. Some of these wines are even packaged in a box like fast food, or in a Tetra Pak like apple juice. Think of it as a sympathetic approach. Most boxed wine isn't even labeled with a vintage date. It just says something like, best enjoyed young. Though it's unclear to me whether this refers to the wine or to the drinker. 10 or 15 years ago, Vino Calypso was terrible. But recently, the quality of boxed wine has improved to the extent that even some premium brands are using the format. And why not, when there are advantages of both price and convenience? Most wine sold in boxes is cheaper than wine of comparable quality in the bottle, and it can be stored much longer after being opened. The bag in the box provides a vacuum seal as the wine is poured out, preventing air from oxidizing what's left. A Tetra Pak can be squeezed to achieve the same effect. Your wine is ready to pour whenever you get that midnight craving for grease. An extra splash, and you can even supersize it. Pizza Vino. Wine experts often recommend zesty whites to cut through the fat and saltiness of mozzarella that is frequently the main ingredient in this takeout favorite. Reds and rosés with good acidity can handle pizza too, and they stand up to the tangy tomatoes, olives, and pepperoni. The classic regional pairings for pizza with tomato sauce are Italian reds such as Chianti, Barbera, and Barolo. Pizzas come in many varieties, and so do the complementary wines. The Margherita pizza, for example, was named in honor of Queen Margherita, the wife of King Umberto I in 1889, when the couple visited Naples and wanted to taste the local pie. A chef patriotically selected toppings with the colors of the Italian flag, white mozzarella, fresh red tomatoes, and green basil leaves. As there's no tomato sauce on this pizza, you can choose a wine such as Pinot Noir that has softer acidity than the Italian reds. Burger wines. For another popular fast food choice, the hamburger, many people assume that a honkin' big red would be the best pick. Not necessarily. Try an off-dry Riesling from Germany, California, or Australia, or even a California white Zinfandel with your Big Mac, Whopper, or Arby's roast beef sandwich. The reason? The secret sauce on the meat is actually quite sweet, and so is the relish topping. That calls for a wine with a little sweetness itself, and enough acidity to cut through the fat in the meat and the cheese, not to mention the inevitable side order of fries, usually doused with ketchup, that's sweet, tangy, and salty. These wines also work with the flavors in Chinese dishes. If you prefer red wine with your burger, try a juicy, fruity, round red, such as a California Zinfandel or an Australian Shiraz. The peppery and spicy notes in these wines are a bonus, complementing the flavors of the burger, the smoky bacon, and the barbecue sauce. They also work with other grilled meats in Mexican fajitas, a steak sandwich, or a Salisbury steak TV dinner. Bubbly and fried. When you dig into deep-fried foods such as fish and chips or fried chicken, you perceive the taste of fat as sweet, so you don't need more sugar in your wine. A dry, crisp white such as Alsatian Riesling, French Pinot Blanc, or dry rosé goes best. The goal is to cut through the fat and refresh your palate with every sip. The best match for fried food, however, is bubbly, whether it's champagne or sparkling wine from another region. It's the perfect contrasting complement in taste and texture. Nothing goes with the extra crispy style of Kentucky Fried Chicken like a swarm of bubbles. One of the fundamental principles of classic food and wine matching is that the simpler the meal, the more complex the wine, because it's not competing with multiple flavors. My favorite illustration of this occurs in the hit movie Sideways. Near the end, the diehard enophile Miles, still dressed in a tuxedo from his friend's wedding, smuggles his coveted 1961 Chateau Cheval Blanc into a fast food joint and drinks it from a styrofoam cup. In fact, the classic Bordeaux isn't such a great match with onion rings. He should have tried a Grand Cru Chasseny Montrachet instead with its rich buttery flavors. However, I cheered anyway because the gesture represented the beginning of his transformation. Miles was starting to loosen his rigid rules about wine and life. And so should we.